The reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
I'm going to pray as I start this morning. Heavenly Father, be with us now on this Trinity Sunday, thinking through what the Trinity means to us. Amen. What completely foxes you? What outwits your brain and you think you will never be able to handle or understand it? Arabic? New Testament Greek? GCSE maths? I was listening to a podcast called Newscast this week, and they started off talking about the last question on a GCSE maths paper where two circles had interlinked and you had to work out the radius of the shaded area. And then they had someone explaining how you do it using equilateral triangles and working out the size of a slice of pizza. And I had no idea what was going on. Today is Trinity Sunday. The Trinity, a doctrine of God, which is so important and yet can feel complicated and hard to comprehend. And you have me 2 years in a row preaching about the Trinity. And understanding and articulating the meaning of the Trinity can feel overwhelming. It's a doctrine about God. And so in our lives as Christians, we should work hard to understand what we can about God, to know him fully and to know him deeply. Anything God tells us about himself will have practical applications for us and how we relate to him. We live in God's creation. We are made in his image. So the more we understand about God, the more we can understand about ourselves. A small insight into God is a big insight for us. The doctrine of the Trinity is about God and who he is. Understanding it means understanding God and more about ourselves. So I hope this morning you will leave with a clearer understanding of how the Trinity changes your life as a believer in God. Sometimes people use analogies to explain the Trinity. It's a bit like water, ice, boiling or steam, or it's a bit like a three-leaf clover. I've never found these analogies helpful, as I don't think God is anything like a liquid or a plant. Knowing God is about knowing a person who we relate to, living relationally with him and having our lives changed by him. Last year, I spoke about the Trinity using the idea of a person and their form. But today, I want to talk about the Trinity in terms of a person with three different roles and three different ways of being related to. Please, may I have my picture? Here is a picture of the Queen from last week. The Queen is our monarch. She is the supreme head of the Church of England. She is also the Queen, so she's a monarch. She's the head of the Church of England, but she's also a mother, a grandmother, or apparently Gary, as she was referred to by William when he couldn't say grandma. And she's also a great-grandma. She's one person with three different relational roles. And the way that she relates to all of us as our queen will be different to the way she thinks about her role as the head of the Church of England. It will be different to the way that she relates to her family as a mother, a grandma, and a great-grandmother. Obviously, as with all understanding of doctrine, this analogy falls down, as we will never get to relate to the Queen as our mother. Apparently, Prince Charles got a roar of approval when he called her mummy during a speech at one of the Jubilee celebrations. Thank you. God is one, but he is formed of three separate persons. And through these, he relates to us in different ways. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons existing as one God. We see this most clearly in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Note that Jesus doesn't say the names of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as if there were three gods. This is one name shared by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One name, three persons. And the first point I want to make for you this morning is that the Trinity is eternal. We are all Elizabethans. That's what Stephen Fry said at the Platinum Party at the Palace last weekend. But we were also constantly reminded that this will be the last Jubilee celebration of the Queen's reign. Although I'm holding out for number 75 because she might make it. And if it is our last chance, then soon there will be a new king to come to the throne. But this trinity of relationship between God and his three parts has existed eternally. God has always existed in three persons. We see this in Genesis. The earth was formless and empty, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. The Spirit didn't come into being at Pentecost. He has always been with God as he is part of God. Jesus, too. Think of 1 John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word as God. He was God at the beginning. The Trinity is the best plan, the plan A for God, for revealing God to us. However hard it might be to comprehend, there is no better way. That is, the Trinity is eternal. And secondly, the Trinity helps us in our understanding. In our passage from John, we can gain an understanding of the Trinity at work. In this passage where Jesus is explaining the gift of the Holy Spirit, he says, "The Spirit will guide you in all truth. He will glorify Jesus by making known to them what he hears and what is to come." everything that Jesus receives also belongs to the Father. The passage mentions all parts of the Trinity. The Spirit guiding us, glorifying Jesus, and Jesus making known to us the Father. The Trinity works to enable us to grow in understanding about God. We are guided in truth about God. And that means that our faith is not static. It can be evolving and we can be deepening and growing in our knowledge and understanding. What we read in Scripture about God and Jesus can be brought to life in our hearts by the Spirit. We can grow and deepen our understanding. Now, I mentioned this maths question at the beginning. My mum is a maths teacher, and even though I found maths so hard at school, as I was not genetically made in the mould of my very mathematical parents, I have to believe that if I'd sat down with her yesterday and I'd showed her this question, I'd said, "Mum, can you explain to me this question?" She is such a good teacher that she would have been able to guide me and help me to understand the equilateral triangles and the pizza slices, and I would have left knowing it completely. I hope I'm urging all of you to go home and to look up this question. Apparently it went viral on TikTok. People were talking about it. The Trinity helps us in our understanding. And thirdly, the Trinity helps us to understand God's love. God, who exists in a relationship, who exists in community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three parts of God exist in a relationship of love with one another, which means when we experience God, we experience love. We do not have a distant God. We have a relational God. We do not have a God to fear. And it upsets me so much when I speak to people of faith and their understanding of the Christian God is one who sits in judgment over them. We have a God who loves us, who's known for existing in love. And this is how we experience each part of the Trinity. God, who loved us so much that he sent his son, Jesus. Jesus, who loved us so much that he died on the cross and was lifted up to save us, so that when we encounter God, we can come before him and receive forgiveness for our sins. And the Spirit, who loves us so much that he helps us as we journey and gives us new life. But the Holy Spirit, who also ensures that we are never left alone as believers. We might feel lonely, we might feel without family, without friends, but if we're Christians, we know that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us for the rest of our lives. And all three parts of God are coming together with one goal in mind. One goal, one focus, our salvation and us being in heaven. Not to condemn the world, but to save the world. As I said, some people have a completely false sense of God. They think he's angry, aloof, uncaring. And it's important that we believe that God takes our sin seriously. Because then we can understand how loving he is, that he sent a way for us to be forgiven so that we could know him relationally and be loved by him. The doctrine of the Trinity isn't about confusing us. It's about loving us. All three parts acting in and around us. Jesus as our advocate and intercessor. The Spirit convicting us, empowering us, encouraging us, and God loving us and knowing us. It means we're never alone. And imagine if we only had one part of the Trinity. If we didn't have the Spirit, there'd be nothing living inside of us. and only those who lived in Jesus' day would have encountered God with them, and those in the Old Testament who met God face to face. If we didn't have the Son, there wouldn't be a solution for our sin, for our forgiveness. And if we didn't have the Father, whose heart shows us the love of God, it just wouldn't be the same, would it? We need all three parts, and that is what makes our faith so unique, so wonderful. We're surrounded by love. We're encompassed by love. And as we relationally experience the love of God, we get to experience some of how Jesus relates to God through the Spirit. We're drawn in. We experience something of the relationship between Jesus and God, the community of God's personhood, existing and relating between the three parts. He draws us into it. This God of love gives us a life of love. I said at the beginning, and I've been joking, I joked to Will in the vestry beforehand, that I preached on the Trinity last year. I preached on the Trinity this year, so I am not preaching on the Trinity next year. But actually, having read all this, I'm like, bring it on. I'm ready. This is so amazing. Sign me up, whatever the date is. Will's just putting it down on Church Suite for next year, that I will be doing this. Isn't it wonderful? When we look at other faiths, it's not the same. It is absolutely not the same. And that's why I'm a Christian, because I believe this to be true. And I believe this to be the most amazing way of encountering a loving God. So I wanted this morning to warm your heart to the Trinity, to help you to deepen and grow in your understanding, and to see something of what it means to us to have a Trinitarian faith. Let me pray as I end. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Trinity. We thank you that you exist in three eternal parts through which we get to deepen and grow our knowledge, and through which we get to experience your love. And God, I want to pray for all of us now that our hearts would be warm, that we would be growing in our knowledge and understanding of you. And we thank you for the gift of the Trinity. Amen.